The Afternoon Live Podcast with Anthony Martin. Listen in live on Hospedia Channel 1. Online at coastway.org.uk. Or on the TuneIn app Wednesdays from 1 on Coastway Hospital Radio for Brighton.
Your dog will be fine, Mr. Gorman, but he will require a complex course of medication.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
How old is Buster?
He's 4.
In dog years?
No.
Okay, so that means he's actually 11.
I never really understood the whole dog years thing. It seemed kind of stupid to me.
Yeah, we need to take two of these twice weekly.
Okay.
That's dog weeks, by the way.
Dog weeks?
And 2 dog milligrams of dihydro woof woof loxabark.
Dog milligrams?
Yes, human milligrams would kill him in an instant. Right. And it's to be taken each day at 12.
Yeah, when you say 12...
I mean 6:15 dog central time.
How do I convert the dog milligrams to human ones?
Are you thinking of taking the medication yourself?
No, it's just I need to know how to measure it.
Then get a dogulator, like everyone else.
Right, listen, can we just drop the whole dog measurements thing? I'm finding it kind of confusing.
You know, I knew one from the moment you first scampered in here. You didn't even know the first thing about dogs.
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah? How many legs does a dog have?
4.
Wrong. It has 13 dog legs.
Listen, can we just settle up, please?
Fine. That'll be 432 dog euro.
Which is?
858 euro.
It's funny, the only one that goes up after you convert it is the money one.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like it, there's the flap.
So on the phone with me right now, I have 1/3 of Irish comedy sketch group Foil Arms and Hog. Hello, Connor.
Hello, Anthony. How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So you guys are in the middle of a UK tour at the moment. How's it been going down so far?
It's been going great, Anthony. We've had 5 dates so far. So we've been in Southend, York, Darlington, Whitby, and last night we were in Nottingham. So we've gone to places in the UK that we definitely wouldn't have seen before had we not booked shows there. Places we'd never even heard of before, and certainly places that had never heard of us before, which was an exciting and daunting opportunity for us. But it's been great. We've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I bet it has. So where did the idea for doing comedy sketches come from as opposed to classic stand-up for you guys?
I suppose that the fact that there were 3 of us, we just kind of like, I mean, we're friends from college and we used to do a lot of theatre together and we always loved comedy. I did stand-up myself and Hog did stand-up before we came together as a trio. And we love stand-up. But when the 3 of us came together, we had just so much more practice. 3 people writing these scenes. And the best part of sketch comedy is that you can make each other laugh and, you know, on the stage, and you can kind of challenge each other and you have a bit of crack. It's much more fun. I don't know if I could do the stand-up on tour in the lonely hotel room on your own.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a good system going. 1 on the bed, 1 on the couch, 1 on the floor. And I wouldn't want to mess with that.
It keeps the cost of hotels down, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Now, you mentioned Hog there. I suppose the name of the group, it's come from nicknames, apparently, has it?
Yeah, that's right, Anthony. So when we started off, we didn't really know what to call it. We used to kind of tease each other about how we performed on stage. It's kind of classically Irish is to kind of insult each other in the most cruel fashion. So we used to call Sean Finnegan the Foil, and that was because he always played the straight man, you know, the comedy foil on stage. He always had the most boring roles, and he was the kind of the reaction, if you like. And then it was called Arms because he didn't play that part, and I always was, you know, too leggy. He's very clumsy, so that's where that came from. And then we kind of couldn't figure out for Sean Flanagan. After a few weeks, we realized that whenever we did a rehearsal or whenever we were doing a new sketch, he would assume the role.
Yeah.
That had the most jokes in it.
All right.
So he was hogging the limelight. So that's where we got that and we put the 3 of them together.
Very good. It's worked out so far.
Yeah, I think so. Initially when we started off, it's a very difficult name for people to remember.
Yeah.
And I know this because you can search on, we can find out what people have tried to search for on Google.
Okay.
And it's like fog, ham and oats, you know, tin foil, dog and pig, legs, ham and weed. Like, there's just mental stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy one to remember.
I bet many a person has gone to the wrong gig on the back of that.
Yeah, exactly. Or ended up in insurance companies. Foil Arms and Hog definitely sounds like an insurance company.
Once you have it in your head, though, it's a name you won't forget, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you guys have written for TV and radio as well. Is the process different for that than writing for live shows?
Yeah, absolutely. It's much, kind of, radio is the most fun because you know, you don't have to get anything on radio. it's inexpensive, and you can ride in a helicopter close, and with a button, made that, you know, quite easily.
Yeah.
TV gets really expensive once you think of out of the ordinary, and then stage. So you have to mine everything, or you have to create. This is definitely the most difficult. You have to create a whole world in front of an audience, bring them in without showing them the location that you're, you know, or using relatively little costumes, which we don't really use. You have to create a whole scene. That's what makes stage much more difficult.
Yeah.
And also stage is much more difficult because you can hear the lack of laughter after a joke. Right. It doesn't work. Where,
yeah,
you put it out on radio or on the TV, you don't really need to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you get a lot of heckling at your gigs?
We actually have on the UK tour. Like, at home in Ireland, we don't really, but right, we've come over here and there's been, our first two shows were bedlam. We went to Southend and we had almost 10 football supporters who come. They're obviously, yeah, there to see a match the next, right, day, so they come down a day earlier. I think they'd been kicked out of the pub next door, and they decided that the best thing to do with all the drunken energy they had would be to sit down and watch some sketch comedy. So the first 15 minutes were interesting as we tackled them. In the end, they were actually really good crack. They were nice, but it's not something you really have to. But the thing about it is, if you're doing a sketch and you're playing a character, and you respond to a heckle, you know, people, it kind of blows their mind because they're like, "Oh, that doesn't make any sense. He was in character a second ago, and now he's talking to me." So you get extra points for doing that. It's kind of cheating. The stand-ups are kind of annoyed about that.
Yeah, I suppose you've got more kind of liberty and a more kind of free scope really to heckle back, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Especially if your character is really rude and aggressive. You know, you can respond really rudely and aggressive, yeah, and they won't think of you as a person.
I was going to say, like you mentioned about the UK crowd being a little bit different with the heckling, I guess. Do you notice much of a difference performing outside of Ireland?
There's definitely a difference. I think Irish crowds are the best that we perform. You use a lot of vernacular, in order to use a fancy word, that you probably don't realise you're even using. And that may, certain sketches, it might make certain sketches to use those words, or there might be references in when you do the sketch in Ireland that are so specific that when you try to transpose them over to another country, it ends up being a little bit generic, and it was the specifics that made it funny. But in terms of reaction, like, we go to the Edinburgh Fringe every year and we play the Brighton Fringe for a couple of years, and the Brighton audiences certainly are amongst the best. Like, they're so open-minded. You can get out of pretty much anything.
I suppose, as you said, you've done the Edinburgh Fringe. You've done 6 solo runs at the UK. At the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes, yeah.
Do you guys like write a different show for the Edinburgh Fringe then, or for the UK gigs?
A brand new show every year. We're in cafes during the day, writing away, meeting up at night, and going through the ideas, and then testing them out with the audience.
Yeah.
At least one every show, you know, see how they like them. It's terrifying, but it's really exciting.
So you're kind of writing it as you go and just coming up with kind of specific stuff then?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just kind of might have an idea in your head and you write a script together and you, in a notebook, and then type it up and hand it out, and everyone reads their part. And if it's funny, the lads will laugh. If it's not, they'll kind of look at you. But it spares you the embarrassment of finding in front of an audience who don't laugh.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a more controlled environment.
Yeah. Now, you guys, you release a new video on YouTube every Thursday. How long does it take? How long does it take for, like, from idea to kind of filming it and getting it done then?
It depends on the sketch, but like usually we try and write it in 2 days, film it in one, and edit.
Yeah.
Film and edit in one. So you're talking maybe three or four days for the kind of standard ones, and then there's some ones that we did one recently, the Life Hacks one, which had a load of different locations, and some of them were in cars, and some of them were in houses, and on the street, or in the office. So that took 2 days to shoot, and probably 3 days to write.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we can't do that every week just with the schedule you have. We love making the videos. You do the videos for free, so sometimes you have to pay the bills and get out and do the other stuff.
That's true. Well, you guys are paying the bills this this Thursday to Sunday. You're at the Warren Theatre Box here in Brighton, at the Brighton Fringe. What can the Brighton crowd expect?
They can definitely expect a lot of raw jokes being tried in front of them for the first time. That's what the Brighton Fringe really is. So we've got a lot of new sketches for them. Brighton audiences, they're always the first to hear new sketches. And then we'll mix it up again to keep the show flowing nicely. We'll mix it up with some of the stuff from our recent show and then some stuff from maybe 5 or 6 years ago that they wouldn't have seen, definitely wouldn't have seen.
Okay.
So it's always a mixed bag.
Yeah, very good. I hear you've got a unique pre-going on stage routine as well that involves slapping body parts.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of like an old school football team where the coach slaps the arse of the players going out, which I probably can't do anymore for all sorts of reasons. But we still practice it. So yeah, you have to give the person a slap on the backside before they go on. Bit of encouragement.
Yeah.
I don't know. We didn't even really think about it, to be honest. We've been doing it since the very beginning, and it was only when someone else said to us, like, why are you doing that to each other before you go on stage, that we realised that it might not be a thing that's done or a normal. We just used to do it for the crack.
Yeah, well, it's worked so far, I guess.
Yeah.
So after this tour, what's next for Foyle, Arms and Hog?
We're going to continue. We're working on some, just going to say, and, you know, kind of like going to say, like everyone who says they're working on a novel, but they've actually never written anything. We are working on a sitcom. So
That's
kind of what we've been working on we worked on kind of November through to February.
Okay.
On a sitcom you're just trying to get, the next step is trying to get people to bite on it, really, develop it ourselves. And in addition to writing our new show for the Edinburgh Fringe, which will be really the main focus.
Yeah. Are you looking to release that in Ireland and the UK or?
Actually over in the UK, I think.
Yeah. Well, the best luck with that. That's sounds good.
Yeah. Should we see how it goes?
Yeah.
You never know with these things. But...
Well, hopefully, you'll be able to manage to pull that one off.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Perfect, Connor. Thanks very much for talking to us and the best luck.
Thanks for having me on the radio.
Yeah, no problem. And best luck at the Brighton Fringe.
All right. Cheers, Anthony. Take care.
How's it going? Hashtag greeting.
Not too bad. How's your weekend? Hashtag just making conversation.
Yeah, just went out with Niamh, you know. Hashtag my new hot girlfriend.
A little ball and chain, eh? Hashtag it should have been me. Hashtag bitterness. Hashtag keep it together now.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late. Oh, I set through my alarm. Hashtag drinking problem.
Don't worry about it. Hashtag bad editing.
Hey, nice t-shirt.
Thanks. Hashtag irrelevant dialogue.
Hang on a second, lads. I've just realised something. We've been hashtagging our entire conversation. Hashtag revelation.
That's ridiculous. Hashtag denial.
Hashtag my character's reaction shot.
Hashtag haircut. Alright, this is a major problem. We need to sort this out before it gets out of hand.
Too many characters!
Hashtag jinx!
Hashtag what did I think of that? Hashtag bitterness. Hashtag keep it together now. Hashtag callback.
How's it going? Hashtag greeting.
Not too bad. How was your weekend? Hashtag just making conversation. Hold on, what happened there?
Somebody retweeted the conversation. Hashtag punchline.